Hey, everybody, this week we're talking about the movie Twilight.
Hit the music.
Everybody, I'm Michael Flaherty.
And I'm Colleen Flaherty.
This is a podcast that you can download on your iPod. It's called Flaherty's On Films. What the fuck is this, Colleen?
It's where we talk about fucking films, dummy.
Oh, idiot.
This week we're talking about Twilight. Why don't you tell those MFers what it's about?
That stands for motherfucker. Bella Swan moves the Forks and encounters Edward Cullen, a gorgeous boy with a secret. That should be the description to every movie. Every movie should be about a gorgeous boy with a secret.
Hey, Michael, have you seen this film before?
No, I have not. Have
you? What did you think of it?
No, it's not good. My familiarity with Twilight as a thing is that it was popular in 2008. That's when this movie came out. And basically everybody I know, no, I mean, nobody I knew liked it, but there's just like a weird, there's so much hate for this movie. And it's like, I don't know. It's not good, of course.
Sure.
But it's fine. I don't know. Like, if you imagine back when this came out, going on like YouTube, every YouTube video had the comment under it of somebody saying, better love story than Twilight.
People still make those comments.
People still say that. And it's
people
like,
still say that.
Like movies that came out at that time, like Transformers. Like I like Twilight better than Transformers.
Agreed.
So it's just like, it's bad, but it's like, there's so much negativity and hatred for it. It's like, oh, geez, it's fine. Even
I don't
though
know
it's
what
not
the difference
fine.
Is between Twilight and Transformers.
Anyway, so tell me about what you think.
So I've read all the books, and not like in an ironic, fun way. Like
yeah.
The way I read the 50 Shades of Grey books. But but for some reason, I've only seen this movie of the saga. I remember really not liking it when I first saw it. And not for like, oh, I was so cool and hated Twilight. I think I did not like the interpretation of it.
Really?
From the book. I also only knew Robert Pattinson from his very short screen time in that Harry Potter movie
where he died.
But he was like way mega hot.
Yeah.
And then in this movie, I was like, what happened to this guy? But now with time and perspective, you know, he's okay looking.
Yeah, he's weirder looking now.
Yeah, I think it's weird that 100-year-old guy would just do such a modern look. I feel like he'd do something a little more classic, a little more timeless, but I'm really getting off track here.
Tell you what's timeless.
Can I finish my thing?
Sure.
Please?
All right, go ahead.
Anyway, I agree with you that it's fine. And before we do our first segment, we should say that this movie was nominated by Allison Matthews, not, in fact, by Michael Flaherty, who thought he had nominated this film. And I would just like to read what she had said about it.
All right, go ahead.
If I could. Let's see. Where do I begin? The baseball scene in this film. One of the greatest in cinematic history. She always craves mushroom ravioli after watching it. Kristen Stewart may have done a better job acting than she gets credit for. Which is probably fair because people fucking hate her so much. Like, just showing up would be a better job.
Yeah.
Charlie? I'd probably go there. Allison? You have friends. Her mom always gets mad about the minor league baseball part because Bella's mom dates a minor league baseball player and she's like, they would be too young.
Okay, I don't know anything about baseball.
I don't either. That sounds fine. A really good soundtrack that she still listens to.
It actually is good. Yeah, it's good music.
And she wishes that her prom looked like theirs with all the lights and all the vampires.
Aww.
And that's
especially the vampires, yeah.
But yeah, mostly the sexy vampires. Anyway, Michael, what was that cool segment you wanted to talk about?
The great segue. This is our first segment. Bam.
Time for Sam, the part of the show where Sam comes on and tells us some super cool facts. Sam, take it away.
Picture it. June 2nd,
all right.
2003. Stephanie Myers wakes up from the most amazing dream. It's so good. She has to write it down.
Isn't this Will Forte's bit in the Parks and Rec episode? Sorry. Go on.
What's the bit?
The bit is that she's like, all right, tell me why Twilight should be in this time capsule. And he's like,
okay, Christmas Eve, 1973. Author Stephanie Meyer, née Morgan, was born in Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, you're going all the way back to her birth. Okay.
Her brilliant idea was a human girl and a vampire who loved her, but still wanted her blood.
Whoa, what a crazy idea.
I know. No one's so ever thought of
this. That's a brand new idea.
Except for a lot of things.
Inspired by this amazing and original dream, she wrote a book that wasn't originally a big fan, popular, but did get published. It was published in 2005, and it would debut at number 5 on the New York Times bestseller within months, and later it would make it all the way to number 1. This book was so popular that in October of 2008, it was ranked number 26 of the USA Today's list of best-selling books of the last 5 years, and it would be the best-selling book of all time for 2008.
And I want to come to the defense of the book. Obviously, it's not great literature, but this was her first novel, which is really fucking impressive, and it's a really readable book. Like,
it is a very readable book, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anybody can make a readable book.
No, they can't.
You just gotta put some words in it.
Oh, that's what I've been doing wrong. I think it's pretty amazing what she did, considering limitations. And yes, there's a lot of problematic elements, but yeah, I think it's a fine book. And people should just, oh, by the way, when I said earlier that I read all the books, I was like a full grown adult. Just to make it more embarrassing. I just want everyone to know that.
Yeah, let's not give you the benefit of the doubt.
No, I wasn't a cool tween or anything. No. Samantha, go on.
So with a popular tween book, there has to become a popular tween movie.
What age group is tween?
I actually think it's like 10, 11, 12.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Adults like the book too, Sam.
It is considered young adult. Just saying. So anyways, a movie was set to be made with Summit Entertainment, I think. Summit something. Yeah, anyway. So Stephanie Meyer had originally had in mind Henry Cavill.
He would have been
to play Edward. And Emily Browning, who I only know from Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events, but I think she's more of a British actress.
She's Australian.
Oh, Australian, my bad. So I don't personally know her in a lot of things, but those were the two people she had in mind.
Those are good choices.
That being said,
Henry Cavill's so handsome. He's like
generic. He's like too handsome.
Yeah. It's like you're not a real person. You're just a cardboard cutout of handsome. You're just, if you Google handsome person.
Exactly.
Oh, sorry, I keep interrupting you, Sam. Go on.
What else is new? I'm used to it. So they had director Catherine Hardwicke for this film, and she would actually meet with Kristen Stewart. Kristen Stewart was filming at the time a movie called Adventureland.
Sure.
And when Catherine met her, it was like immediate, like, she's like, yes, you are exactly what I want for Bella. Well, then they had to find Edward, and Edward was really hard to find. They couldn't find the right person at all. It was really just kind of stressing them out. Well, Robert Pattinson over in England had never heard of Twilight the books, but he really liked Kristen Stewart's performance in Into the Wild. So he flew himself over to do an audition on his own dime, and they weren't certain of him, so they had the final four actually like audition with Kristen, and Kristen immediately was like, yes, you need to do this Robert Pattinson guy, because they have the best chemistry. Like, they felt it right away.
Really? Hmm. That's interesting. Okay.
I mean, they had real life chemistry. They dated.
Did they, though? Anyway,
what,
as Trump says, he deserved better. Yeah. Anyway, go on, Sam.
Thanks for bringing that in.
There's a lot of like many of the articles I read about this talked about how he was 21, Robert Pattinson, and Kristen Stewart at the time was 17. She turned 18 while filming. So apparently, like, the director made a bunch of hilarious jokes at the beginning, like, don't fall in love with her because she's underage. Stay hilarious. Focused on your work.
That's so funny.
And I was like, that's just creepy. I don't care for that. Sorry. I'm interested in your guys' opinion on this. This is Robert Pattinson's first American film. So, how do you feel like his accent was? He did not have any formal training.
I thought it was good. I feel like I usually do bump on this stuff, and I didn't bump on him pronouncing words weirdly.
I don't even remember any of his dialogue. Just remember his owl-like face.
Right. His dreamy demeanor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To prepare for his role, Pattinson actually had to do 5 hours a day of weightlifting. He also had to learn how to play baseball, how to fight, and how to do stunts.
And how to run, like, super fast.
Almost all the stunts were done by the cast. He also had to get his driver's license in Oregon. Because filming took place in Portland. It was shot over 48 days. And the one really cool thing I found from this, I mean, it seems like just a regular shoot, was there's a scene where Bella is in the cafeteria and she drops an apple and it kind of bounces off of Edward's foot and he catches it and he's cradling it in his hands. And that was meant to be like the cover of the book that this movie's based off of.
Ooh.
Apparently it took 13 takes to get it right.
That's not that many.
It's so, not like Tobey Maguire, you know.
I was totally thinking that too when he catches all the stuff in the lunch tray,
which he actually did.
Well, yeah, right, but so everything was glued down.
Well, yeah. Right.
So he catches. All the lunch tray goes flying. He has the lunch tray. He catches all the things, and Tobey Maguire really did that, and he did that on the first take, apparently. So
this is cool. Fun. Do you have any other Spider-Man 1 thoughts?
I wish.
God, Willem Dafoe is so great as a villain.
He's so dynamic.
And Willem Dafoe and Ron Pattinson are in a movie called The Lighthouse. So it all comes full circle.
Okay.
Amazing, Michael.
So Robert Pattinson, it may not be known, is actually a musician. And he was listening to some of his music one day, and I think it was Nicky Reed.
Sorry,
overheard
he's just
him.
Rocking out to his own music. Like, this slapped. Man,
yeah.
When I wrote this one, it was great.
And Nicky Reed, who plays Rosalie, was intrigued by it, and she actually got some copies of it or whatever and gave it to the director. So without him knowing, they actually put two of his songs into the first cut of the film, and he didn't know about it until he watched it. The songs are Never Think. It's played during the restaurant scene.
Never Think.
She's like the Wind situation.
It is, except for kind of, he was more like cool about his music.
I mean, he was listening to his own music.
He was his Walkman, just like banging out.
This is like when I listen to this podcast in public places and I don't even bother with headphones.
You're just like slapping your knee, like, good point.
That's me, guys. That's me on the podcast. Anyone can subscribe.
Funny and informative? What is this?
So, and then Let Me Sign, which is played when Edward has to drink Bella's blood.
Let me sign.
Sorry, you said, Twilight. So is that in the real film then?
Yep, okay. They kept it in. He agreed to it then.
Cool.
Twilight would premiere, but before it would premiere, they would do a midnight showing. So midnight showings are really popular with, like, films based on books, or basically any film that already has a huge fan base.
Sure, like cult films.
Exactly.
I mean, Twilight Marvel movies probably have popular midnight showings, I'm sure.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe, who knows? Twilight grossed over...
I think... Sorry, go on.
Twilight grossed over $7 million in ticket sales for their midnight showing alone.
Oh, so their midnight showing opening. I'm sorry. I was confused. I thought you meant they still do midnight showings.
Oh, no. Sorry. The opening.
Oh, I would totally go to one now. That'd be hilarious.
I don't stay up that late. Show it at 8 o'clock. God.
I'll just go there and be asleep in the theater.
The film is fifth overall on Fandango's list of top advanced ticket sales.
Wow. Damn.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Overall, the film would make close to $400 million worldwide, considering it was like a $34 million budget. Like, it was just a substantial win.
$360 million of profit.
Pretty much.
Michael, good math.
Don't check on anybody at home.
And your question of the week, this movie actually is in the top 10 list of highest grossing films directed by a woman.
Whoa.
Where on the list does it fall?
Third.
I think it's probably sat like first. Is it first?
It's not. It's eighth.
Okay. Ha-ha!
Okay. Good job, Michael.
Thank you.
Do you want to know what is first?
Yeah, yes, wait, we should know this.
Wait. Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman is number 2.
Ooh. I don't know. What do women do? The
Hurt. What's like a woman?
The Hurt
thing?
Locker? I don't know.
Yeah, was Sam, is it the Hurt Locker?
You know that big blockbuster, the Hurt Locker?
It's a movie from last year. Michael Infinity and I War? Went to see it.
We see a lot of things.
Not anymore.
It would be Captain Marvel.
Oh,
really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Wow, what a mediocre film to break barriers.
Number 4 is The Matrix Reloaded.
Sure.
Oh, that masterpiece. Anyway.
Okay. So I would like to talk a little bit about Robert Pattinson and kind of the awkwardness of this. So after a film comes out, the cast will go on a press tour. And on the press tour, they're supposed to talk up their film that they're in. Robert, as previously mentioned, had not actually read any of the Twilight books, had no idea what it was before he got into it, and then was kind of in it. They signed a four-movie contract, so he's in. So some quotes from him about his experience. When I read it, it seemed like a book that wasn't supposed to be published.
Oh, that's just me.
I was convinced Stephanie was convinced she was Bella. It was like reading her fantasy, especially when she said it was based on a dream. I was just convinced, like, this woman is mad. She's completely mad, and she's in love with her own fictional creation. And sometimes you would feel uncomfortable reading this thing.
That sounds very British.
You guys, I know that sounds like a mean thing to say, but imagine it in a British
accent.
Yeah,
I was just thinking that.
It's actually quite charming.
Yeah.
And then,
if Bert told me I'm mad, I would just melt.
David, my friend David tells me that every day, and I'm like, aww.
Like, I know why we're married.
And the last quote I have from him is, "The more I read the script, the more I hated this guy. So that's how I played him, as a manic depressive who hates himself. Plus, he's an 108-year-old virgin, so he obviously has some issues there."
But yeah, if that was a British accent, that would be so funny.
That would be hilarious. But Sam, you did okay.
I'm so sorry. Just have David say it and then just put that over me.
If I was a 108-year-old virgin... I'd be messed up too, love.
And it.
Are you mad? So that's basically what it sounded like.
Michael, that was so charming.
So apparently, to prepare for his role, besides all of like the learning and stunt and stuff he did, he spent the first 2 weeks before shooting alone by himself to get like the isolated feeling he felt he needed for his character.
Sure, like a vampire.
And he was almost fired because he was too depressing and, like, emo.
I love that fact.
People are like, Rob, nobody asked you to do that.
My final
really
fact.
Really, just be hot. Like, that's your job.
Rob, one job. Just do the weights.
My final fact for you guys today. Robert Pattinson has said later on that he has changed his mind about these films.
Oh.
In an interview with USA Today, he said, "It's lovely now that the mania is not so intense. People come up to me and just have very fond memories of it. It's really a sweet thing. I think the only scary part was right in the thick of it all, when it was very, very intense. Now the intensity has died down, and it's just warm memories.
That's really nice.
Good for him. Someone learned how to play the game.
He also revealed that he had recently watched New Moon, which is the second movie, and he said just the other day, and it genuinely does have an incredibly good soundtrack. I completely forgot, but the soundtracks were quite ahead of their time.
Was it more of his music?
Please, please let it be that.
I don't know. I didn't look into that one soundtrack. But
I hope it's all just his music.
It's like, this, like, is just what's on my iPad. It's on the screen.
His sister apparently sang some parts too. Like, she just vocalized over the top of songs. You know, doing some,
Yeah, harmony.
Yeah.
That's in the movie.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's his sister.
That was Bam.
Time for Sam. Sam, thank you so much for those incredible facts, especially about Robert Pattinson being too emo for the role. Now we're going to go to our next segment, Critics Corner. For the critics, tell us what's up.
I'll do the first one. The two hormonal teenagers sizzle like sausages in a frying pan. The supernatural stunts don't disappoint. Neither does the deadpan wit, says James Christopher. What was the wit?
I was going to say the deadpan wit. That's interesting.
This is not, yeah.
This is from Peachy Pat, an Amazon reviewer.
Yeah, here we go.
The acting is terrible. The story is terrible. The whole thing is unbelievable. I don't mean vampires are unbelievable.
Those are real. Let's be clear.
This scenario is totally ridiculous. The two of the characters are wooden. Might as well be watching a tree.
Whoa.
The wolves are more interested and even more believable. Thankfully, the grandkids have moved on to other interests now. I'm getting lessons in K-pop and Broadway musicals.
Just to clarify, what's real? Wolves? Vampires? What's not real?
Who knows,
those characters. Here's from Manola Dargis from the New York Times. A deeply sincere, outright goofy vampire romance for the hot not to trot abstinence set. There's a lot going on in that sentence.
There sure is. This is from Bubba-san of Amazon reviewer. Sparkly vampires, lol.
Nice. This is from Eddie Baker, an Amazon reviewer. Making vampires acceptable in our world is not okay, as far as I'm concerned. And I did not like this book, and the fact that Bella was willing to give up everything for a boy, including her soul, definitely upset me. I'm with you so far, Eddie. It is more acceptable to be a... Wait, hold on. It is more acceptable to be a vampire or a witch in this world these days instead of a Christian, and that really bothers me.
That took a left turn for you, didn't it?
Yep. Yeah, it's true. People are more accepting of witches.
That's a thing. You're like, oh, sorry, you suck blood. Oh, you're a vampire.
Witch. Totally.
I thought you accepted Jesus Christ, your personal savior. That would have been embarrassing.
Yeah, you would have had to get out of this Denny's.
Anyone who has not read the book may find themselves bewildered or at least a little confused without some of the nuances of the book to fill it out, says Matthew Lucas of the Dispatch. I will say something. So the Amazon one-star reviews, there were a lot of them.
Really? That surprised me.
Doesn't yeah. surprise you?
No.
I'm sure from a ton of people who haven't even seen the movie. But
being sarcastic.
Most of the legitimate ones were people who were really big fans of the book.
Huh.
And did not like this interpretation.
Here's one of those Amazon customers. Of all the things I heard about Twilight, from the stilted acting to the weird Mormon allegorical plot and abuse in relationship to how much our Pats hates his life. That's Robert Pattinson there. I didn't expect to be bored out of my mind. I lost interest in even laughing at it halfway through. First time in my life I've ever felt sorry for a movie. Damn. It's harsh.
I gotta disagree with Amazon customer. Of all the faults of this movie, I was not bored. I had a fun time.
I could see it's kind of slow a little bit. I get it.
Here's from Ryan, an Amazon reviewer. First off, I like my vampires to burn in sunlight. Not great. Shimmer or whatever.
See, this Ryan's on point.
And what's with the different superpowers they have that are unique to individual vampire? Well, not only am I immortal, but I can insert whatever power here, hunter, speed, psychic, what have you. Furthermore, Oh, he's putting thought into this. Furthermore, does anyone else notice the vamp show sign of being a physical as well as mental abuser? For all you fans, watch it again with this.
Dude, movie. Ryan, open my mind. And this is our last review. It's from an Amazon customer. I just don't like that type of movie with vampires and such. What a gentle, sincere, like, oh, it's one of those. Okay, not for me, but thanks.
Not for me, but thank you.
How cute. That was Critics Corner. Now we're going to go to favorite part, least favorite part.
And I normally write this down ahead of time, but I could not think of what mine were. So I want to just piggyback off of yours.
All right. I have two favorite parts. One's a sincere one and one's an ironic one. I think the music is okay.
Okay.
I think it's pretty good. It's pretty good music. But sincerely, the special effects when they happen are just wonderful. This is my ironic one. I had a sincere one. This is my ironic one. When the vampires run fast, fucking great. When they climb trees, fucking great. When they're playing baseball and two boys hop in the air and run into each other to catch the ball, fucking great.
Fucking great. I will say, I guess my real favorite part is probably the sexy boys.
Hell yeah. And they're over 18.
They're over 18. I mean, I also like the sexy older men in this film.
Like?
Like Dr. Carlisle. Like Charlie with the stash.
Mm.
I'm all about it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Nice. You know what? So we've done some teen movies on here. And I've said things like, this is a good teen movie. Or, this isn't a very good teen movie. And what I usually mean by a good teen movie is it's like, oh, I feel like teenagers would enjoy this, but it's also like good messages. And it's also like, it's so like ironic and interesting and it's fun to watch as an adult. This is just straight up a good teenage girl movie. Like, forget all that other shit. What a fun, like, just sexy.
You don't think it has bad messages?
Probably. Now, why do we have to overthink it all the time? I mean, I know that's what we do all the time on this podcast, but, you know, sure. It's fun. What's your least favorite part?
Probably the messages. I mean, right? Like, she falls in love with, like, a stalker, and she's, like, really into the stalker. Yeah. And the movie kind of frames that as pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I also watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, go on.
Which has a very similar love story with a teenage girl and a very old vampire, but he looks young and is hot. Although, I will say, what's his name? David. Fuck. I'll never remember it. It was in BoJack Horseman. It was a whole thing.
Dave Boreanaz?
Yes, Dave Boreanaz. Thank you, Michael.
No problem.
He looked 40 in Buffy, so I thought it was a bit worse.
Interesting.
My point is like these tropes are very common in this kind of genre. But maybe that doesn't make it okay. I don't know what I'm saying. So my least favorite part would actually be, I think that there are some more redeemable parts in the book that doesn't come across. For example, I think the character of Edward in the book is more fun. And he's a bit more jokey. And
that,
like,
would have maybe been good to have in this film.
Yeah, right? Because I think what Sam was saying about how he was like too depressed and emo in a way that like everyone was annoyed comes across in his performance.
Yes.
And in the book, he's you know, he's fun, he's jokey, he's like a little bit of a dick, but not too much, you know, the way girls like.
The way girls like, yeah.
The way girls. And I just feel like it would have made him more appealing of a character to be like, oh, that's why she's so in love with him. And like, he's a handsome boy.
He's handsome.
But I feel like some of the choices they made were weird. Overall, I also think the movie made some weird choices. But so I think also my favorite part is how it's a good team. My least favorite part is maybe as a 30-year-old, I don't like watching very much. Like, I just want Bella to make better choices, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. You're looking out for her. Like, why are you just giving yourself away to this guy?
Right? Anyway, and again, I get it. Like, stuff that is aimed at teenage girls, it probably gets way too much criticism. But that doesn't mean this is above reproach as a film.
I still think it's a bad film. I don't like it very much, but...
But I do remember, Michael, that you said when we stopped watching, you're like, this was much more watchable than I thought it
well,
was.
Well, people lump this in with like The Room, with like, oh man, it's so bad. Like, you won't believe how bad this movie is. Like, no, this is just like an average. I guess this is a competently made film.
Agreed. All right, let's go to our intern summary. Michael, you want to start us off? Tell us all about Bella Swan.
Sure. So we are get introduced to the hero of the piece, who's Kristen Stewart, whose character name is Bella Swan. Here are some facts about her. She lived in Phoenix with her flighty mom, and she likes it there. The mom is Nina Myers from 24, just if anyone needs context.
Oh, thank you. I didn't need that context.
You're
I knew
welcome.
She looked familiar.
Her mom fell in love with a minor league baseball player, and we've established that that's kind of strange.
By the way, in the book, they do mention that Bella is uncomfortable with how young her mom's husband is. So I think that was the
thing. So they thought it through.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Stephanie Meyer has an eye for detail, obviously.
Bella's moving in with her sexy cop dad, which I don't even think he has a name. I think he's just called Sexy Cop by all the characters.
Mustachioed cop.
So she is. Here's a fun thing about her. She's just super clumsy, and she likes books. Like, other girls like fashion and like dresses, but she's like actually like interesting. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't really get. You know what I mean?
I totally get what you mean.
God, girls are so dumb. When she goes to her cool outdoor high school with all the coat trees, where she instantly makes friends and all the boys want to get with her. Well, maybe not all the boys.
What?
Oh, what?
Let's meet the Cullens. There's this group of super pasty but super attractive, well-dressed people. But they're not vampires or anything. Everyone chill out.
And they establish that they all live together, but they're not related.
Right. Because this guy, the sexiest guy.
The sexy guy. Oh.
The sexiest. I think my number one for sexiest person in this movie is the doctor. Dr. Carlisle and his name is Carlisle Cullen. So
doctors give like prescribed medication in doses of CCs. And he's Carlisle Cullen.
I bet that's except that I think he died in like the 1600s, which some people associate that with some Mormon shit. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, Dr. Carlisle and his wife Esme, they adopted 5 teenagers and they sit together at lunch, but they never eat for whatever reason.
Oh.
So let's meet them all. So then there's Rosalie, who has amazing big blonde hair. She doesn't like Bella very much, whatever. She's dating Emmett, the guy with the big muscles. Oh, yeah. Dating? Yes. They all date each other. It's fine. It's cool.
I don't feel like I remember any of the other vampires besides Robert Pattinson.
Well, you remember Alice with the cute pixie cut?
Oh, okay. Alice. Remember her. Yep.
I know you remember her because she can see the future, kind of, and you did not. You took exception to the way she saw the future.
They're like, she could see the future sometimes. I'm like, wait, what?
Right. And then
we can all guess what the future is. That's nothing.
So she's dating Jasper, who's also a super cutie, and he looks really nervous. So again, as we established, there's 5. 2 of them are couples.
Well there's one there. What was the fifth?
Edward. It's Robert Pattinson, the hottest of them all.
Yeah, I think he kind of looks like a sexy owl. That was my note when we were watching this.
Right. I think Anna Kendrick, who's a friend who plays the friend of Kristen Stewart, she says something like, oh, he's so gorgeous, but guess he's just too good for the girls at this school. Whatever. I don't care.
She was fun. Anna Kendrick's performance. She's up there in my favorite parts. She's like a fun
nice.
Character.
I think she'd like to hear that.
I think she's heard it.
Probably. Michael, what happens next?
So Bella goes to biology class, and one of the funniest parts of the film, honestly, is just Edward just staring at Bella. It's great. You can tell he's British because he just nails the comedy.
So we were all watching this on Hangouts together, and all of us burst out laughing when the camera went to his glaring. It's so intense. but not sexy intense. Like, he seems a little constipated.
We're like, did he
really mad?
Did he isolate himself for 2 weeks to be emo? Because he's just nailing this.
It comes off.
Yeah. So he's angry for some reason. He goes to the school manager and is like, I need to be in a different class. But Bella hears this.
I love how she's like, all the classes are full. Like, is this a fucking college campus? Do you remember in high school that you could just be like, I'd like to switch classes, please? And someone would.
And they're like, dude, you need an appointment. I'm just the desk person. Like, that's not how this works.
I've checked and all of them are full, even though they've established this super tiny town, but whatever.
So this sounds like a real rocky relationship. This isn't going to go anywhere, except Bella is hanging out by some cars, you know, rating or whatever. Then another teenager is coming into this parking lot. Oh no, too fast. But then she's about to get hit. But then Edward rushes over real fast and stops the car. But he's just a guy. How did he do this? He just held out his hand and he was so far away. How did he get there so fast?
How did he do it?
And then when she's like, so Edward, what the fuck? He's like, oh, you know, he just gaslights her, tells her a bunch of fucking lies, tells her like, oh, you didn't really see that, basically. But he said it in a really sexy way.
He even says the line, who would believe you? Which is cool.
Who would believe you, but hot.
But then he says the other sexy lines.
Oh, he says, what if I am a bad guy? Which is very hot. Girls like
bad guys. Which is like catnip to a teenage girl. All the things. He's like, you need to stay away from me. It's like, oh, okay, that's going
to
work.
I had to get my fan out. You know?
Mercy.
Oh, Lord.
So then some super cool trips happen. Yay.
And I'll say this. On the BuzzFeed article, if am I a Twihard, I got the name of this beach right. I can't remember right now.
La Push.
It was a multiple choice quiz. And I got 11 out of 13.
I don't think I was a Twihard.
Yeah.
I only got 12.
I was an immortal fan, I think. Or something like that.
All right. So all the super cool friends go on a beach, which I always feel like she's a little like above her friends, but they're all so welcoming and kind.
Yeah. What a cool friend group.
Yeah. It was really nice. So she invites Edward, but he doesn't show up. And then some cool guys from the reservation, they're Native American, you see. They come and they're like, oh, the Cullens don't come here. What?
They also established that Jacob from the res is a childhood friend of Bella.
Yes, that's important. So Jacob, or Taylor Lautner, still, he's sexy, but you know future him is going to be even sexier, which is fun.
That's true for all of them.
Right. So he says the Cullens don't come here, and she's like, what's up with that? That's weird. And he's like, all right, I'm going to tell you a story. It's nonsense. It's a thing we just talk about on the res. I'm sorry I'm saying that so much, but he says that word a lot. So he's like, so there's a story about a family, and we call them the cold ones, the people who suck blood. But he never uses the word vampire, which I think is a bit conspicuous.
Yeah, just say vampire.
Yeah, my great-grandfather came together with this group of the cold ones, and they made a pact that as long as they don't hurt any humans and they never come on the reservation, the tribe won't tell the pale faces who they really are. And she's like, oh, were those like the Cullens' ancestors? And he goes, no. They were the same people. What? But then he's like, ha, isn't that silly? That's not real.
All right, see you later, Belle.
I actually think Taylor's performance is really good. Like, he's the most endearing person. He's just lovely.
I was on Team Jacob during this movie. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I was on Team Jacob the whole time, but
still am. Got to renew my membership.
So second fun trip is they go into town to get prom dresses with the girlfriends, but Bella's not gonna go to prom. She doesn't dance and she doesn't like this girly shit, so she leaves the dresses stuff to go get a book because that's what she's
She actually likes to like read, open up her mind,
right? But then a bunch of guys are gonna like gang rape her because that happens, sure. But it's really good because Edward was stalking her the whole time and comes to save
her. Phew.
Yes.
Thank God.
And then they decide to have dinner together where they have mushroom ravioli, which I think is what Allie was referring to. And then Edward says he reads minds, that everyone's thinking about sex and money, except the one guy in the corner is thinking about cats.
That's a good bit. Rule of threes, sex, 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 cats. Ha ha. I want some mushroom alioli. So Bella does some research and she's starting to put together the mystery of who Edward is.
God, who could he be?
This part of the movie, the scene in the forest. I don't like this movie that much, but it's fine. It's like a competently written, like there's the characters or whatever. They're fun. This, if you did kind of cut out this one part of the movie, this dialogue, this is a so bad it's good part to me personally.
It's really funny. So this is one of the biggest departures from the book. Because the book, she kind of just like slowly figures it out. And when Edward finally acknowledges what he is, it's like them just having a conversation in a car where they'd already had many conversations that he wasn't totally human. And then like in the car, like, oh, so I think you're probably like a vampire. He's like, yeah, I'm a vampire. And then they just kind of chat about it, which I get for movie purposes also wouldn't be a good way to do that. But the film really takes it the other direction.
But I prefer the film version because boy, is it fun.
It is.
Do you want to recite the dialogue? Because I don't really remember it.
You talk like you're from a different time. You're impossibly cold. You're stronger than all of us.
Imagine a lot of Dutch angles, though.
Yeah, right. And then you're just... And then he goes, say it. You're a vampire.
Claim, you knew all the dialogue.
That's not it. It's similar, though.
And then... go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So
Edward's a vampire.
How does one prove you're a vampire? Great question. Edward hoists her up on his back and they run super, super mega fast.
And he says, come on, spider monkey.
I believe your friend / husband David said, like, that is an aggressive piggyback ride. And then he reveals his true form by stepping into the sunlight. And his skin glitters. Which I knew that the skin glittered in sunlight bit. I just didn't know, like, the effect is so bad, I thought.
It's really bad. I remember in the book, they're like, his skin shone like 1,000 times. I'm like, that's silly.
Yeah.
But then in the movie, it looks like static on his skin.
Looked like they, like chromatic aberration. Like they just like fucked up the camera just to make it weird looking.
I mean, that's probably what they did.
It's weird. How can you go to school and not ever be in the sunlight? Is that Seattle? Is that just what it's like there?
So I don't know if they actually say this in the movie. But in the book, they make a point that they go to Forks, Washington. And this is a true thing about Forks, Washington, which is a real place. It's one of the place that gets the least sunlight in the entire world.
Oh.
Because it's just cloudy and raining all the time.
So, I'd be into that.
Yeah, that's important.
Huh, that's a cool fact,
actually. Do they have a line like that in the movie? I mean, I was pretty drunk, so I don't remember.
When he was glittering, did she go, oh, that makes sense here because of Forks? And like going to the history of the town?
So
the movie is weird, but I did kind of like this slight self-awareness where she's like, oh, I'll meet your family, I'm in love with you, and Edward's a little bit like, you know, that's weird, right? Because I'm like a vampire and I'm like might eat you.
Yeah, that's a funny thing. Like, I think one of the criticisms of this franchise is like it doesn't have self-awareness, but I think most of the time it does, and it knows what it is.
I mean, she never says the words, I'm in love with the creepy stalker. Then you'd be fully there.
Well, because she's a normal 16-year-old girl who's in love with someone so hot.
Okay, none of the characters say that.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
So there's that.
I think Jacob does say it in later books, which is why I was Team Jacob.
Got it. And he's hot. Anyway, continue reading this description.
Sure. So now we get to baseball and actual plot. Because you're like, yeah.
You're
really
like,
happened.
Wait a minute. There's no stakes yet.
Remember when he goes into his room with her and he plays a C and he's like, it's Debussy. And she's like, is this Claire de Lune? And he's like so impressed that she knows classical music.
You know what? I'm impressed.
Were you impressed that she knew that song?
No.
Okay. So Bella gets invited to watch vampire baseball, and they only get to watch baseball when it's thunder and lightning out, because they, when they hit the ball, it makes a super loud noise.
Like vampires.
Like vampires do. So vampires are just like supermen. Which, yeah, they actually make a point.
They're more like X-Men. I mean, they all have a unique trait.
Oh, they are like X-Men. They make a point like they're unnecessarily powerful predators. Like if they just had one of these powers, they could do the, they could eat people, but they just get 8 million powers for some reason.
Hmm.
So they're playing some baseball, but then more hot vampires show up. What? But uh-oh, the hottest vampire of the new trio.
Whose name is James, I think.
Yeah, like what a cool name.
Like, James.
James. So he's a tracker. And he's realized that Edward is like really into Bella. So what a great sport it will be for him to track down and kill Bella. Well, so then there's kind of a convoluted plot, but just to get to it, Bella basically hurts her dad and is really mean to him. By the way, Charlie, what a sweet guy.
What a sweet guy. What a sexy cop.
Yeah, so sexy. There are a lot of unnecessary scenes with him and her eating in a diner for some reason.
I like those scenes, honestly.
But nothing, that doesn't forward anything at all.
I mean, that's not why I like him, yeah.
Sure. So yeah, she's like, oh, I hate you, Dad, and I never want to get stuck in this town again, which apparently is what her mom said to him when she left him, which is very sad. So yeah, she's going to go to Phoenix with Alice and Jasper. Edward's going to join at some point. You don't have to know the rest of those details.
Anyway,
also, Alice sees a ballet studio in the future, but Michael does not care for her future power.
But it does come true this time.
Right. Okay. So what Michael's problem is, so she sees the future if everyone stays on the path they've decided on at that moment. And if they make
that's
a
like when I say, let's go to Denny's. That's true. If we go, then it's true.
Right. Because so she's like, but if then they make a different decision and there's a different future, then her.
If you guys want to go to Red Robin, then it won't come true. You know, I'm not always going to know.
So you did correctly see the future. But then people made different decisions.
Except for when you go to Red Robin. I've called an anti-Red Robin psychic ability.
Is that what you call it?
Psychic ability sans Red Robin.
Sure.
Here we go. James calls Bella and says he has her mother. Bella hears her mom's voice. Then James says he will kill her if Bella doesn't come to the ballet studio alone. How does James know about the ballet studio?
Because he broke into her house and got like info.
Okay, sure. It's a trick. It wasn't actually her mom. It was like a recording of her mom. It was an old family video.
Which he got from breaking her house. See?
Okay. And the video was probably at the ballet studio. James toys with her. This is the climax of the scene. So you really think, oh no, she's in danger. Tries to film the whole thing and make sure Edward gets revenge because he's just having fun. At one point, he bites her, which is real bad. The Cullens get there just in time to break up the party. They tear up James and burn him, but it's off screen, so it's not yucky.
But we know what's happening.
Edward then has to suck James's venom out, but without eating all that sweet, sweet blood, he saves her. Now I'm confused. Does the venom turn you into a vampire?
It does. So if it doesn't kill you, the vampire venom is what turns you, but it's really, really painful.
I thought that was, is that like common in vampire lore?
I don't know if it is.
Because I thought that was zombies.
Well, zombies. Yeah, but it's not venom. You just get bit by a zombie, right? And then,
what happens? I mean, it's something.
So only because I
explain the science of zombies to me right now.
I cannot.
Okay.
I just know that in the Twilight verse, the Twiverse, if you will.
I mean, they're zombies, they're X-Men, and they're vampires. They're just everything.
So so most people don't get turned into vampires. So this is like, because I know John had a problem with their apex predators. So there would just be too many zombies. They would win all the time. But the problem is it's really hard to make a vampire, I guess, because you get bit by in this world you get bit by
I have about five more seconds of interest in this explanation, so go real fast.
Okay, so you have to survive long enough for like days of horrible pain to become a vampire. That's
gotcha.
Basically.
Gotcha.
Is that good?
Yes.
Okay. But we also have to talk about the second most hilarious Robert Pattinson performance is the look he has on his face when he's sucking Bella's blood with his fucking bug eyes. And he's like shaking.
It's very good.
Very funny. Anyway. Oh, wait. I do have another thing to say about that scene where I feel like people give Kristen Stewart a lot of flack for her performance in this movie. It's not all crazy. I mean, she's not great in it, but I thought her acting in pain was actually the best, was actually pretty good acting.
Don't remember it.
Fair enough. So Bella wakes up in the hospital where her mom explains the cover story, and it's fucking ridiculous.
That anybody would believe. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. She's like, oh yeah, Edward and his dad went to go see you, and then you fell down a flight of stairs and fell out the window. It's like, what? You believe that she fell down a flight of stairs and out a window?
Well, isn't the weird part, like, Edward would have had to explain this, like, to the dad. So the dad,
that
like,
is weird.
Edward, what happened? When I last saw you, Bella was running away from you. And now here she is,
correct,
bruised and unconscious.
If you're a cop, the most obvious explanation is right there.
She just like fell over. It's fine. Here you go.
The crazy thing is in the book, it is the same, except that they explain that they set up a whole scene at the hotel that like had evidence that she had fallen out a window. But even then, when you believe that someone pushed her out a fucking window.
Anyway, let's wrap it up.
So sorry. So Edward says she should move to Jacksonville with her mom because you just can't be with me anymore. And she's like, no, no. No. So then she's
I feel like that's how your daughter says no.
No, 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 no. Anyway. And then they go to prom. And then Belle asks Edward to turn to a vampire, but he doesn't go for it. But maybe someday. Also there's a cute part where Jacob comes in and he's like, oh, my dad gave me $20 to say you should break with your boyfriend. Bye.
It's very cute.
The film ends with James's lover looking at the two. Oh no.
That's the end. But let's begin our new segment called Bro Call, where we call our brother John.
Bring, bring.
John, are you there?
Hi, everyone.
John, hi, thanks for being on this podcast called Flurries on Films. Have you seen the movie Twilight?
Yeah, what I saw it right alongside you guys. I would almost argue that you forced me to watch
it. We didn't do that. What do you think of the film?
I don't think there's a single redeeming quality in that movie. I think it was horrible. I think it was literally melodrama. I keep saying melancholy. Melodrama boiled down, distilled into a fine spirit.
What's wrong with melodrama?
Yeah, that actually sounds great. I feel like
it was disgusting. It's like the Malort of movies.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
You guys have never had Malort? Oh, I mean, it's great. Yeah, yeah. Chicago's finest.
You're doing
it's a terrible licorice liqueur.
What's your issue with melodrama?
That movie was stupid. And it was just taking itself every little bit, everything Kristen Stewart's in, so seriously and so bad. And, oh man, the stares and the terrible acting and the insane logic of the movie.
What? Name one problem with the logic of the movie.
Let's see here. He escaped. Our trick did work. I guess we'll go drive down from Washington to Phoenix and we'll, you know, in 3 minutes.
They're superheroes, John.
Yeah, right.
I remember my friend David had a problem with the fact that they go to high school all the time, but they explain it with the dialogue.
I forget the explanation. Why do they go to
high school?
The explanation is
he likes teenage girls.
They want to live among humans. So every time they move to a new place, they want to start as young as possible so they can stay as long as possible. So they want to start as teenagers so they can stay there for like 10 years, 15 years. That was their experience.
That actually kind of makes sense.
Yeah, right.
And yet they had 1,000 diploma or graduation caps on the wall.
They had like 20. There's 5 of them. Settle down. I don't know why I'm defending this more.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any more thoughts?
No, it was bad. It was real bad. Very bad. Even the baseball scene you guys kept plugging for me, like, it's the greatest thing, it's so good. Eh.
I don't think...
I'm there.
I would defend this film more than you, but I don't think we meant that in a serious way. I think we were being funny. I think we were doing a bit.
It didn't seem like a bit at the time. There was one fantastic part of this movie, and that was when my sister ordered potato Olays from the Taco John's a block and a half away and had them delivered, and they were amazing.
They're just fucking hash browns. When will we all admit this?
And it was so good. God,
John, what do you grade? That's a memory
I'll take to my grave.
What do you grade this movie?
And then I'll be reborn because I'm a freaking teenage diamond encrusted vampire. Oh God. Talk me out of giving it an F. Tell me one redeeming quality of this movie.
I'm not going to.
I'm not asking you.
Oh, I like the gang of high schoolers. I felt like the friendship was kind of nice. I thought the relationship with the dad and the daughter was like obviously not like great, well written, but it's like I kind of felt like there was something there.
I accept both those answers.
I like the kind of the town.
Yeah, there wasn't really a plot, but the dad.
The plot doesn't happen until the last 10 minutes of the film. Yeah.
Even then, the plot was not.
The plot is there's a villain. Yeah.
There's a villain we just kind of made up and gave him a really weird motivation at the last second.
It's a lazy
plot.
I'm okay with that.
But yeah, the group of teens that actually, I mean, they didn't go anywhere with it, but it made sense. Okay, I'll give it a D. Mickey gave me two reasons, so it goes up two notches.
Good job, Michael.
Thanks, John. Thank you so much for being on this episode.
I don't feel thanked. You're not welcome.
John, you're great. All right. Now, Colleen, what do you grade the film?
I'm going to give it like a solid C.
Whoa.
Because I do kind of like to consider the AFI stuff.
It is a Wait. Wouldn't that make it worse? I mean, it's not an AFI movie. Whoa.
Wait.
Oh, okay.
Well, it probably wouldn't make it on the top 100 or anything, but this is a huge fucking cultural phenomena, Twilight.
Yeah.
And it was, as Sam said, how much money it made, having a female director. Those are real things. And also, it's just not that bad. Like, it's fine. Everyone needs to settle down. And I'm probably giving it too high a grade because of how much people unnecessarily hate it. But I'll admit that up front. Yeah. Michael, who was the hottest boy in this film?
Taylor Lautner for me.
Okay.
Also, Carlisle, who we called, I believe, Vampire Chris Evans.
Yes, Dr. Carlisle. That was also mine.
He's hot.
What grade do you give it, Michael?
I think I give it a D. I also want to be kind of nice, but I probably graded better films a C. So.
That's fair.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that. Who are we sponsored by this week?
Cheetos,
do you want to be swimming in a pool of cheese? That's what you get when you get a bag of Cheetos. You can get regular, you can get spicy, you can get jalapeno, you could get milk flavored. Go to your local Quick Trip and grab a bag.
But Michael, is it extreme?
It's so extreme. Get out your snowboard and your skateboard and ride them both at the same time. Get your helmet on.
Fuck yeah, that's what I do when I eat Cheetos. Anyway,
I love how the ad has a cuss. Anyway, what is our next movie?
Why don't I get our randomizer? Doo-doo, doo-doo, doo-doo. Oh, it's a Jurassic Park.
Rawr, dinosaur.
dinosaur.
I am a dinosaur. That's
Michael, stop quoting the movie.
Sorry.
Let's leave a little for next week.
Yeah, all right. So stay tuned for that trailer. And what else? And, well, I'm setting you up for the ending.
And cut.
Since the beginning of time, man has searched the earth for evidence of its past. But while some have looked for clues to the mystery, one man has found the way to bring the mystery back to life.
I own an island off the coast of Costa Rica, and I spent the last 5 years setting up a kind of biological preserve
here on this private island. Science has defied evolution.
Where do you get a 100-million-year-old dinosaur plot?
Genetics has mastered creation.
We've made living biological attractions so astounding that they'll capture the imagination of the entire planet.
And extinction is a thing of the past.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Are we going to where King Kong?
None of these attractions are ready yet, of course, but the park will open with the basic tour you're about to take.
Hey, look at this!
You see something?
Dinosaurs and man. Two species separated by 65 million years of evolution just been suddenly thrown back into the mix together.
Can I touch it?
How can we possibly have the slightest idea?
You feel that?
What to expect?
Things are failing all over the park. Phones are out too.
Let it go!
Universal Pictures presents.
And freeze!
I can't get Jurassic Park back online.
An adventure 65 million years in the making.
Just a delay. That's all it is. All major theme parks have delays. When they opened Disneyland in 1956, nothing worked.
But John, if the Pirates of the Caribbean breaks down, the pirates don't eat the tourists. You sure we're safe?
Yes. Unless they figure out how to open doors.
Jurassic Park.